Hey, this is Mike Tyson, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Evening, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for June 30th. Holidays today. It's Meteor Day, whatever that means. There are a few birthdays today. We want to shout out happy 37th to Alicia Fox. Happy 38th to Cody Rhodes. Terry Funk is 79 today. Terry Funk and Dax Harwood is 39. All these birthdays today on June 30th, the last day of June of this year. Tomorrow's July 1st, so, and that's Canada Day. And that's probably why we're doing the show today, because we are down some folks. It's going to be Danger and I. I want to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. I also, let's see, you interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Initiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you, and contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby if you're into the men's team. Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear. They have a we have a boot camp starting in 2 weeks, and that would be 2 weeks from Sunday. And check it out. Go to flowercityfear.com if you're interested in, you know, in skating. It's fun. Even coming to boot camp for like 4 or 5 weeks is a blast. Welcome to the show today. It is Friday night, and we are doing a Friday night thing. So, hey, Danger Boy, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Just hoping the smoke goes away before the long weekend.
Certainly.
We can enjoy some time outdoors.
I'm the Cash Man. He's Danger Boy. It's us tonight. And, we've been dealing with this smoke thing here in the Northeast. It's been really pretty bad the last couple of days. So, when I noticed, we have this thing called the Jazz Fest going on, and I went downtown on Wednesday night to see Bruce Hornsby and the Reigns were playing. And I couldn't find a parking spot. Second of all, as I got out into the air, this smoke is tickling things. You can taste it in the air. It was making my eyes go red. And I didn't even get into the smoke at the concert, you know? So it was like, I turned around and came home because it's just the conditions are terrible out here. But it's everywhere on the East Coast. I know everyone else is dealing with this too. So a lot of people are. I mean, I've seen Chicago where it looked like, you know, hell pretty much earlier this week. And it's going to be, I guess, through tomorrow now, I hear.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be. Yeah, if anyone's out camping, you know, stay in your tent till tomorrow. So. We're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. You know, that's why we do the show. And I appreciate anybody who's following along. I know it's a Friday night. We never do it this early on a Friday night. But, we are trying to get.
Just call us AEW Rampage. We're just hopping around.
Yeah, we're AEW Rampage. We might be on Saturdays at night or, Fridays at 10. I believe they're on tonight at Friday at 10 o'clock. So.
I believe so as well.
Well, we might as well start off and talk about the news that came down today. The passing of Darren Drozdov. You might remember him as Droz or as Puke. Remember, he's going to puke. He's going to puke. Remember Vince McMahon? What was that? Wrestling? What was the movie that was in? Was it...
Wrestling with Shadows, or
the Wrestling with Shadows was a Bret Hart story. This was the
That's the one, wasn't it?
Was it in that one, or was it in the one with Mick Foley and his family and The Rock beating him with a chair and
I can't keep them all straight.
Yeah, so it probably, but nevertheless, it was a Darren Drozda puke. He was part of, actually at one time or not, I believe he was part of the Legion of Doom.
He took Hawk's place while Hawk was dealing with his real life demons openly on camera.
Yeah. Remember Hawk climbed up the side of the Titantron and was threatening to jump. Bizarre, completely bizarre. But yeah, he came in and, unfortunately, I mean, the story about Droz is Droz had his neck broken by D'Lo Brown accidentally in the ring, and that pretty much ended his career, and he was quadriplegic from then on and passed away last night. So I'm not really sure what. I mean, I guess once you're quadriplegic, it makes your life a lot more difficult to live. I didn't see if he had any heart issues or anything, but I'm trying to remember him as a wrestler. He was kind of like a big, he was a football player.
He didn't wrestle for very long.
Yeah. I know that
I think he came in like 96 or 97 maybe. And then he didn't really do anything until 98. And in 99 is when he broke his neck.
Yeah. And, and did you ever see that by any chance? Is there any way we ever seen that? The actual him breaking his neck?
I don't remember if it came out. It was a TV taping.
Yeah.
And they never aired the match. But I'm not 100% sure if that video ever made it around.
I'm going to say
it did, but I'm not sure.
He just landed. He was taking the D'Lo's, was D'Lo's finisher, and he like just leaned the wrong way with his head, and his head got caught up underneath his body.
Just think Omega and Ospreay from last Sunday with a little different ending to it.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. So he was a football player. Before that, he played with the Eagles and the Broncos, and it was, I think, obviously career-ending injury, he was just 54, which is a shame. He's a young guy, younger than me. So it's like, he was a Road Warrior for a short time, and really nothing outstanding. But it did happen at a SmackDown taping, October 5th, 1999, at Nassau Coliseum on Long Island, it's just right. It was 5 months after Owen Hart passed, and he had was wearing a loose shirt during the match, which was a factor that contributed to the accident, which broke his neck. It's a shame, but he he'll live forever with Vince McMahon yelling at him to puke. It's a shame. I don't remember really a lot of his wrestling. So, we know that he was quadriplegic after that, and the WWE really pretty much kept him employed doing something with him. I'm not sure. So that's a shame. I heard about that today, kind of late news today. And actually the artiste had sprung that on us. And then I had to go look it up and find out, cause get the news then it suddenly duplicates everywhere on like the internets and stuff like that,
Oh yeah.
And so we send our best out to the family, and I'm not gonna say maybe he's in a better place, but he might be, better living condition. Just remember, there was always all these stories, a few stories every couple of years or so, there'd be a story on them, and about how WWE paid like $35,000 for a new wheelchair that did everything for him. And they really did support him. So it was, it was just one of those things that happens. It's kind of like what happened to Natty Neidhart's husband, who took the muscle buster wrong.
Yeah, Tyson Kidd.
Tyson Kidd, yeah, he took the muscle buster wrong and pretty much broke his neck in the ring. He didn't have as serious, it wasn't as serious a condition. It was enough that he had to retire for the rest of his life, and he has like a half metal neck. But you'll never see a Tyson Kidd wrestle again, I don't think. Which is a shame. But let's talk about some other stuff. Last weekend was the big Forbidden Door 2. Forbidden Door 2, AEW pay-per-view. I don't really know too much about how they sold. How did it sell? I mean, you always seem to know that stuff, figure that stuff out.
Heard well. I haven't seen final numbers or anything like that, but I heard it was doing very well, and it was their biggest gate ever for a show. It's going to be broken here shortly in like 2 months.
Oh yeah, when they go to England, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I heard that the pay-per-view did very well, and it's better than Daniel Bryan's arm currently. So
yeah, we'll talk about that. There's you know, there's a couple things about the show that stand out. One was that Adam Cole could not wrestle on the show because he was sick. He had the flu, I think it was. So that whole setup they did at the end of the end of Dynamite the week before pretty much went to nothing. He was supposed to take on Filthy Tom Lawler, who ended up taking on Serpentico instead. But that, and I guess
in a dark match that no one saw, other than, unless you were there.
There was an hour of on the free pay per view where you could
see. It wasn't even on the free pay per view though. It was on before that.
Really? So
yeah.
Interesting. So there was a couple matches that were on. They called it the Dark Hour or whatever. So I think that's what it was called. You know, the because then we got the Mogul Embassy taking on Chaos, which was Rocky Romero, Chuck Taylor, and Trent Barreto with El Desperado. And the Mogul Embassy, of course, Swerve Strickland, Leona Cage, and Bishop Khan, which, you know, it looks like Swerve is not associated with any of his old guys anymore, especially since apparently they got taken off the AEW page today or this.
Yeah, you know. I heard a story about him this morning, and then they aren't on the page anymore.
Yeah, the dude with the tattoos on his face and everything.
Yeah.
He's, you know, apparently, well, and they said that it's not a good thing when you get taken off the official page in AEW. So you've heard nothing about it, but, you know, but we have not seen them also since Swerve kind of, you know, bolted them to go to the embassy. So, but that was like the second match. It was 8-man tag. And then they had Athena take on Billy Starks. That was, I guess, on the pre-show as well. They're dark, whatever they called it. And, oh, no, that wasn't. That was on the regular. It had to have been on the regular one because it was the.
No, that was the pre-show still.
Oh, it's still the pre. Well, how many matches they have in the pre-show? It looks like 5, you know, because that was for the Women's Owen Hart Cup that was going on. That's going on. Then we had El Fantasmo defeat Stu Grayson by pinfall on the pre-show. And then we had one more, United Empire, Cobb, Fletcher, and TJP. Oh, TJP makes a AEW show, so against Los Ingobernables, what's they called? Gobernals de Japon, which is, I could, you know what, it's a bunch of guys, Bushi, Takahashi, and Takagi, is that it? A bunch of guys from New Japan, of course, because this is the New Japan AEW.
Pronunciation is not our friend on a lot of these.
No, that, well, you know, not guys I don't see every week, but I've seen Bushi and Takahashi before. So it's like, but
yeah.
Nevertheless, the first match of the night was MJF beating Tanahashi by pinfall. Did you by chance notice the times in these matches? It's like the last two are like over, I think, you know, one's like 40 minutes and the other one's like, the last three, the Osprey Omega was like 40 minutes long, and then Bryan Danielson Okada went almost half an hour, and they squeezed in that 6-man with Sting, Darby Allin, and Naito taking on Jericho, Guevara, and Suzuki. But looked like a great show overall. It looked very long though. I can see why they might have 5 matches on the pre-show. There's a lot of stuff to squeeze in. Punk taking on Kojima in the Owen Hart Cup, and Punk, of course, won that. Cassidy defended his title once again by pinning Garcia, but it was a 4-way with Zack Sabre, Shibata, and Garcia. And then Sonata defeated Jungle Boy. And then what would be happening to Jungle Boy after that, Danger? People are not happy with this.
They're not happy with it because to pull this off, you have to be able to cut a promo, and Jungle Boy cannot cut a promo to save his life. He has the charisma of a wet bag.
Well, what happened at the end is Jungle Boy lost the match, and then as he's leaving, he's standing up at top of the
and Hook's raising his hand for him, and he clotheslines Hook,
and then he comes out on Dynamite this past week and cuts a promo. And I mean, you could hear crickets chirping, you know, seriously. It was like he wasn't getting any reaction from anybody, you know.
And the material, I mean, it was very generic heel material.
Yeah.
But it wasn't awful. It's just he needs to work on his timing and his ability to project his thoughts and everything. It was not a good promo at all.
Yeah, it just
the best thing he did was jump in the car.
And I was gonna say it was. I think there was a couple things on Dynamite this past week that really didn't get over with the crowd. And I felt that was one of them. There was a women's match that also was quiet as well. But yeah, he comes out and it's like you know, he's wearing sunglasses and you can tell he's gone heel because he tied his hair back. You know, that's got to be one of the signs.
And he was wearing a jacket.
Yeah,
jacket,
yeah.
Sunglasses, and tied his hair back.
Yeah,
and it made him stop using. I mean, the stopping using Tarzan Boy was great. That needed to happen. That's what Chris Jericho didn't get about being a heel 4 years or 3 years ago. You can't come out to your own music. Everyone's going to sing. You're not a heel that way.
Well, they were still singing it to him even when he said he was never. He goes, "That's the last time you're ever going to hear that." And then they started singing it to him even louder. So. Yeah, it's you know, it's I mean, we all felt it was coming. We talked about it last week that it was going to possibly happen, the heel turn. I don't think anybody cares, you know? I mean, is he really a pillar in the company? But it's just the people are upset about it. I was reading some stuff this week. You go to, like, these posts on social media and you read the comments underneath it, and people were mad about that. They're mad at the company for making him do that. It's like, but he wasn't doing anything. He was treading water, doing what he, you know, living.
He was treading water, but there was a slight buildup to it. You can see it coming. But just to go right from where he was to what he became in a, you know, 3 day span is a bit out there, but that's.
Yeah. There was no slow burn. It happened like that quick, no. You know?
Yeah.
So my idea would probably keep him off TV for a while or have him do something heelish, you know. Obviously, being aligned with Christian Cage, you figure you might have learned something about being a heel when, you know, for all that time they were together. But no, it was, you know, I don't know. I think the jury's out right now. I wish we had somebody to talk the other side. Where is Rob Sanderson, you know? Where's the artiste? Because
I don't know if even he liked that promo.
So. No, he probably hated it too. But that kind of, you know, that was the first kind of big thing that happened on the pay-per-view, big surprise. And then we had the Elite and Eddie Kingston and Ishii defeating Blackpool Combat Club with Shota Umino and Takeshita there with the other three guys by pinfall. It's interesting is that I think on this past week's Dynamite, we've got during a trios match, we got the Blackpool Combat Club come out and challenge them to Blood and Guts, I believe, at the end of it.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but because they're tired of losing every other way, because they've lost two in a row now, I'm guessing, you know. They really haven't been able to beat this Elite group yet. But they think, what was Blood and Guts? Is that like where they had like...
It's like War Games.
Yeah, okay, so they had like the cages and the weapons around it. Yeah. So that's going to be – so that was challenged by Jon Moxley, and I guess it's going to be in a couple of weeks when they're it's in the news someplace. But it's
in Boston.
Yeah, oh, yeah, in Boston, that's right, yeah. So probably sell some more tickets with that one. But the Elite group end up beating Blackpool Combat Club. And then we had Tony Storm defeat Willow Nightingale by pinfall. So we have the AEW champion beating the New Japan Women's Champion.
Not the Women's Champion. She's a strong champion.
Strong champion. Now, do you think that would have been Mercedes? Mercedes, yeah, Monet or whatever her name is. Yeah,
I think it would have been, but I don't think it would have been Tony Storm in that match.
Okay. I was going to say, because it's like we obviously Mercedes Moné broke her ankle, and that's why she – but I'm just curious as what would the booking would have been if that hadn't happened, because we know that Mercedes was supposed to win the title. And because of the broken ankle, Willow got put over, which is a good decision. I mean, in the ring, when you get hurt, you know what options do you – kiss? You know, I mean, Steve Austin still beat Owen Hart after Owen Hart dropped him on his neck.
That's because of the stipulation they had. And Owen Hart could wrestle his way around a broomstick. So
yeah, well, he laid down for Steve Austin, who couldn't even grip his hands.
He kind of like tripped over him and Steve Austin kind of rolled him up or whatever.
It was terrible.
Wasn't it like you had to kiss his ass if he lost, though?
Oh, that would have been even worse, I guess, with a dropping on his neck. So, you just wonder what would have been like if Mercedes Moné had won that title, and would have been, it probably would have made this pay-per-view even bigger, because apparently Mercedes Moné is a pretty big star, enough that Bayley talks about wishing she would be back in WWE today. So then we come up to the, and that was so far really manageable times on these matches until the next one, Ospreay versus Kenny Omega for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. And that the match went 39 minutes and 45 seconds, and Will Ospreay finally gets a win. How many times has Ospreay lost to Omega? I mean, as many?
Only once. They've only had the one match.
They've only had one match?
Before that.
Okay.
Before that, yeah.
And that was in Japan, right?
Yes. Does it Wrestle Kingdom this past year?
No, I did. I have not seen this match. I hear it is the greatest thing in the world.
The ending is awful.
Oh, is it really?
Anything involving Don Callis in the end of this is awful.
Oh. Don Callis
has... He got booted, and he just came back in, and it was involved, and it was dumb.
But up to that point, it was a super great match. I mean, they were, just flying all over the ring at each other, doing crazy moves and everything. And, I mean, I know that Omega was bleeding. I saw some.
They both were gushing pretty good.
Yeah, I saw some good steel shots from it and everything, but I did not see it, so I can't judge if it's the greatest thing I ever saw. But
I like the previous match better than this one.
Okay, now I did see that one. I watched that on New Japan, the TV show on Access TV, and I was just shocked that they could do five moves in a row, all the same one, and it was an insane match. It was just people jumping out of the ring at each other, and sling blade, five sling blades in a row by Kenny Omega, which was insane. And that should be a finisher for somebody. That was just the first 2 minutes of the match, So then we got the tag match with Sting, or Darby Allin and Naito versus, the Suzuki gods or whatever Chris Jericho called them. And then Sting, Darby Allin, and Naito won that one, 15 minutes. And we got Bryan Danielson defeating Okada by submission, which is amazing because Okada, it was for no championship or anything.
No.
But the amazing thing is that Bryan Danielson broke his arm at 17 minutes into the match and wrestled the next 10 minutes with a broken arm. And it was like you could see the separation of the bone. So obviously it must have been clicking when he was moving it. I remember seeing that in the UFC before. I remember Joe Rogan pointing out he heard a clicking during the match, and it was because the dude broke his forearm. But that's pretty insane. You're going because he had his move is like
he had to adjust his finish,
yeah,
and put it on with his feet, using his feet for leverage instead of the arm because. I mean, his arm was toast.
Yeah, well, apparently he said he placed his arm wrong when he was getting landed on by Okada, and that's what broke it. And, you know how fast that could happen. Someone jumping over a top rope and landing on you. If your arm's dangling in the way, it'll get crushed. And that's what happened. But unbelievable that Bryan Danielson wins the match with a broken arm, and now we're not going to see him for 8 weeks.
Maybe even longer, because the break was apparently worse than they expected.
Yeah, and he's been booking too, so I'm guessing he'll still have his influence on the booking side, but he won't be wrestling. What do you think about that being the final match? We kind of discussed that a little bit last week, how everyone thought Ospreay and Omega should have been the last match, and then what do you think?
It probably should have been, but that's also hindsight, because now we know that Danielson had the broken arm, so we don't know what that changed in the match or what they didn't do or anything like that. But as long as it wasn't the Tanahashi match from Saturday night last week, I felt bad for Swerve.
Oh yes,
and I like Tanahashi. He was great, but he's up there now, and he was not moving well.
No, and poor Swerve, it's like, he now that he's kind of like disassociated with his old team, he takes all the pins now, with the Embassy. He's like the guy, it's what I always question about the guys who take all the pins in matches, like Garcia's doing it a lot now too in AEW. And you have like the, you know, these three on threes or fours on fours. And it's always like the newest guy in the business is the one who's taking the pin, even though he's probably the hottest prospect too, you know, but I mean, is that paying your dues, I guess, a modern day version of paying your dues?
Something like that, I guess. I mean, it also could be some of the more established people don't want to take the falls. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I understand why Swerve put over Tanahashi. They, you know, it's a respect thing and all that. And they wanted to build him up because he was taking on MJF the next night.
Well, what about Okada putting over Bryan Danielson? You know, I mean,
that was kind of, especially with the tap out. He hasn't tapped out since he faced Shinsuke Nakamura a long time ago. So that was a surprise.
Yeah, that I mean, you know, it's and I know that they, you know, in the long run, deep in their heads, they have like these, you know, one win, one loss, you know, and they go, okay, he's going to owe me this one back next time he's in Japan or something like that, you know, and usually they even out, you know.
Well, I know for a long time New Japan had it that Okada couldn't lose when he was doing different shows like such, like going when he was doing ROH shows and stuff like that, they wouldn't allow him to be booked to lose.
Well, he's,
and it was the same for the same for Naito and Tanahashi, and like they're big guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, not Okada is like their biggest star, isn't he? He's like their Hulk Hogan, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. So you know, he ends losing to Bryan Danielson, but you know, maybe it's a promise that Danielson will come back and do the favors in return in Japan, which I'm guessing will happen. Maybe even, you know, a Wrestle Kingdom this year coming up. You know,
what's awful is this means with Daniel Bryan hurting himself, he's going to miss first Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
But it might not be awful. You know, he might be happy about that one because he doesn't have to do all the crazy stuff. But he's probably going to miss the show in London at Wembley.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or a minimum is still within that time, you know. So, you know, he, yeah, it's true. You know, which is a bummer. But, you know, I hear they have someone coming in to replace him. I'm not sure who exactly, but they said they have someone in mind to replace him in the BC.
Over.
No, please, no.
Goldberg.
Oh,
yeah. The answer is always Goldberg from here on out.
Rob's not here to cry about it, so not Goldberg. But so that was, yeah, that was last weekend, and that was what was happening in the world of wrestling. This weekend, we have Money in the Bank tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Money in the Bank, you know, we're on even before SmackDown's on tonight. So,
well, SmackDown's already been taped. So
yeah. Have you seen the results?
I have not seen any results. The only thing I saw was a face off and it was someone filming it. It was between LA Knight and Logan Paul, and Logan Paul was running him down saying that he was only a manager and that, he wasn't really a megastar of anything. And then the entire crowd was just chanting LA Knight's name. And then did his whole catchphrase.
Yeah, maybe he could have said, "Well, you know, maybe I could have come and been your manager, like Cole was supposed to be." You know, no, you know, but that's kind of funny how they mentioned they forced him to be a manager. I hate when they do that. You know, it's like they can't find anything better for somebody. You know, they.
Well, he was too old. He's 40.
Who cares? He looks. He's in great shape. The guy's in like freaking. You know, I mean,
and he's what. He's one of the most over people in the entire company right now.
Yeah, he is. He's big time over. So before we jump into talking about that Money in the Bank and everything, I want to talk a little bit about Dynamite this past week. Let's talk about Sting on Dynamite this past week. Sting.
And I'm sorry for any of you going to the Nickel City Comic Con this weekend who had tickets to get the Sting autograph or picture, because you will not be seeing him because of this match.
Yeah, so Sting, you know, and by the way, we had the Hangman and the Young Bucks, or the Hung Bucks, as they call them, take on John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Evil Uno. It was basically the Dark Order versus the Elite, and it was a fun match, actually, believe it or not. I love that match. That was a lot of fun. It went, you know, 14 minutes, so that's a long time on network TV. But we got in the final match, we got Sting and Darby Allin versus Jericho and Sammy Guevara. And I don't know what was in their heads to do some of the things that they were doing. But, you know, of course, Jericho came out as the Pain Maker. I mean, he's borrowing that from us, I think, right? The Pain Clinic, the Pain Maker.
Why has no one told? I know he doesn't take criticism very well.
Of course not.
But Could someone who is close to him, who he'll listen to, just tell him the Painmaker is the dumbest thing he's ever done and no one cares about it?
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, he thinks, you know, well, he originally used the Painmaker deal when he was in New Japan taking on, who was he taking on? Kenny Omega, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he felt like he had to dig deep into the, you know, the lore of the New Japan, the Japanese wrestling, and do the face makeup, the spiky jacket and everything. And so he felt he had to go there for this match. And yeah, I would agree with you. It was not necessary. If they got rid of his theme song when they did it, that would be nice, because then we wouldn't have to have everyone singing along. But that match, fun match, you know, did some crazy things. I don't know why you let a 64-year-old wrestler decide to jump off a ladder out of the ring onto a guy on two tables, and the last table doesn't break and kind of catches his face. Yeah, he came up short and catches his face as he's going into the table. If you go back and watch that, Sting got messed up. He had to have a lot of stitches in his mouth. He was bleeding. They still won. He still put Jericho in the Scorpion deathlock and got him to tap out. But I'm sitting there going, please don't do this, Sting. I'll take Darby Allin. He can fly. You know, Darby Allin could have made it. Sting fell short.
Yeah.
You know, it was a shame. It was, it definitely was a bummer because, you know, now, like you said, he was supposed to be coming to Buffalo this weekend, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to. He was one of their big people for the Comic-Con. And from what I gather, the most expensive autograph, and he is not there.
Nope. And it's not far. It wouldn't have been a far drive from where he is, so it seems like it's an easy way to make some money for him, because they were just up in Toronto, right? Or was it Hamilton that was a...
They were in Hamilton Thursday, I know that.
Yeah, because that's where they taped this week's Collision, right?
Yes.
Collision has been taped, so that's taped for tomorrow, so that's already happening. We know some of the stuff that's going on. We'll go through it eventually. But... excuse me. I don't know. Sting, you know, Sting has gotten away with doing some crazy stuff and not getting hurt. And then he does that. And, you know,
I don't think he'll be doing that crazy stuff anymore.
Yeah. I was messaging everybody going, oh, Sting, don't do it. And then he did. And now he's hurt. And so, but you know, he apparently addressed the crowd after it, just claiming he's going to have a bunch of stitches in his mouth. Apparently a tooth got dislodged. So that's why you're not going to see him, folks, in Buffalo this weekend. That, or cause of the haze and you can't see him wherever he is. You know, it's like John Cena. You can't see him cause there's all the smoke in the air. No. But, yeah, so that I just wanted to address that because it's like the whole show was really, really good this past Wednesday. I thought it was a great show, and then
Finest Jungle Boy,
and then I felt that, you know, he just did not get the crowd, you know, and just didn't read them correctly, you know. I mean, we had the Soho match where I thought it was like, you know, like a whisper out there. Thank God it only went 2 minutes and 10 seconds. A lot of people are getting the flu there, too. It looks like Britt Baker got it as well. It didn't make sense, Britt Baker, Adam Cole both having the flu, but hopefully they'll be able to get back soon. I know that they won't be on the rest of this week, I believe, because, I mean, everything's been taped so far, but I don't know. I'm going to say that it was an interesting week. We still got tonight. In fact, I'll even, when we go through the news at the end of the show, I'll go through the rundown of what is going to be on tonight's. I can't do SmackDown because I did not look at the, I didn't cheat and look at the, what's going on.
I haven't looked either at all.
But you said Logan Paul's there. So you already gave me.
Yeah.
And we know that he's going to
He was advertised as being there,
though. Yeah. He's going to be in the match. He's already been announced for the match tomorrow. So. But
did you see the news about why they're announcing so many matches ahead of time now on SmackDown and Raw?
Not sure, because I know that I believe that AEW was doing it in much more detail first.
They were, but WWE is doing it because, as much as we don't like to believe it, Vince apparently likes to put on TV what they've advertised. So they are trying to Vince-proof shows by advertising as much as possible ahead of time.
Yeah, I did see that story. There was a story this week saying they don't want Vince changing things at the last minute. So if they advertise it, he'll go with what they advertise. But he's been meddling with matches and stuff. He's been meddling with stuff. So yeah, it makes sense. We're gonna get this is gonna be, I think, a fun Money in the Bank. Seems like it's gonna be a great fun pay per view. With going to be some returns and all sorts of things, but let's go down the lineup of it right now, and we'll talk a little bit about, what the surprises will be, or what possibly they'll be, because I already know at least one they've announced, but they have right now Money in the Bank. There's two Money in the Banks. There's a men and there's a women's, and the men's is going to take Ricochet, Nakamura, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Butch, and Damian Priest, and Logan Paul. And you right there, you think it's LA Knight's going to win that, right?
I think it's either LA Knight or Logan Paul.
See, and I've heard the Logan Paul rumors too. And that's
But I could also see Damian Priest. If any of those three win, I know a lot of people would hate if Logan Paul won, but I think it would be a troll move if he did. So it'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
And if Damian Priest, LA Knight, or Logan Paul win, I will be happy.
Okay. And the women's Money in the Bank, we've got Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley. Well, we'll find out tonight. Bayley or Shotzi. I guess they're wrestling tonight. And Io Sky and Trish Stratus. So that one, most likely, I'm betting Becky Lynch, just because Becky Lynch hasn't done anything significant in a while, and it's like, she still gets the pop of the crowd. So I think they need to put her back into a championship opportunity. But I was thinking, if Logan Paul did win it, he's not going to be at TV every week, a sport in a suitcase. Maybe they'll like go on the road with him, and it'll be in like his luggage. You know, he'll have like a luggage rack outside a hotel, and there'll be like all these ones, and then there'll be the Money in the Bank case on the top. I don't know. That's why I don't see Logan Paul winning it, because he's not there every week. But, you know, it wouldn't bother me if someone who didn't carry it around all the time, we didn't see it and stuck in our face, you know, for the next, you know, 9 months or whatever. I would not have a problem with that. We've got Cody Rhodes is going to be taking on Dominic Mysterio in the singles match. And a lot of big rumors about Lesnar coming in and maybe causing some problems with that, just to set up the SummerSlam match between.
I would love if they gave Dom the win based on Lesnar interference.
Oh yeah. I would think that's how it'd have to go. Yeah. Then we got Rollins taking on Baylor for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Baylor, of course, has been, you know, destroying Rollins the last couple of weeks, did it last Monday pretty bad. We got the Bloodline versus the Usos. That's going to be probably I'm guessing that's going to be the last match of the night. You know, it seems like it would, you know, because they write these stories around these matches, and, you know, it would make sense if they, you know, more drama happened during it, you know. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And it's interesting that, like Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan said, that they never lost the titles, which is true. They won them, and then Liv Morgan got hurt. So maybe they're just going to be, they'll do a quick switch back and give them back to them. I'm not sure how that's going to go. And then we got Matt Riddle taking on Gunther, and that'll be sometime earlier on the match, maybe even if not the first one. And it's like, we haven't really seen a lot of Matt Riddle. I mean, he keeps getting beat up. He has like an ankle injury, and there's rumors not only of Brock Lesnar coming back, but possibly Randy Orton. Did you hear anything about that?
I've heard it rumored. I've heard a couple weeks ago he was getting boots made. There's been talk about that he's coming back shortly. Kurt Angle said he's coming back shortly.
His dad said something about it. His dad said it like a month ago.
Well, his dad said he wasn't coming back. He might not come back ever because his back was worse than he thought. But his dad's also a worker who wore a cast for 20 years. Yeah, so
true. So we could see Randy Orton back. You know, it's a possibility. There's always a chance. You know, you say there's a chance. There could be a chance, possibly. But that would, you know, I think that would, you know. And then the question is does he pick up with Riddle, or, you know, do they finally have the split that was destined to happen between those two guys that never happened, you know?
Based on how long it's been, I think they would have to play up the friendship first for the split to have the impact. So however, being over in the UK, that crowd's going to react to every single thing. It's going to be fun crowd.
Yes, definitely. You get a good idea tonight if you watch SmackDown, because their SmackDown was taped earlier today. Was it the O2 Arena that they're in?
I guess.
Yeah, so they're in the O2. So it was taped earlier today, and you'll get a good feel for how, how they'll react to, anything. You know, I mean, they're the ones who do the soccer chants. They were the original ones to do the soccer chants during wrestling. So we'll get a lot of that. I blame a lot of those people over in the UK for the weirdness on the night after WrestleMania that everyone always claimed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They would fly in and stay for they'd do the whole package, and then they would take over the crowd.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun this weekend. I think that'll be a fun pay-per-view. It's early Saturday. So if you've leaves your Saturday night free to do anything, and, I kind of am liking these earlier ones. I don't have a problem whatsoever, you know?
I don't mind the earlier ones, but I like the fact they're actually putting an effort into these cards. And the last four they've done have been actually every single one they've done this year, because Royal Rumble was cool too. Every single one they've done this year has been awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They've had, and plus they've got a hot storyline that like anchors these things, you know?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Usos win.
Me neither. You know, it's like, I don't know what else. I mean, could there be another Samoan out there that could possibly join with the Bloodline? Because I know there is another Samoan out there.
Yeah, he's in the news for the wrong reasons this week, though. So
I saw that. He's hit a girl or something? I can't remember.
No. He apparently took money in advance to do a booking for a charity show, and then didn't show up and didn't give the money back.
Yeah. Well,
it's the allegations. I don't know if they're true or not. I don't know anything. I guess just
yesterday. He'll write him a check, right? By the way, Danger, I'm going to play a little fun here right now. What'd you think of that match you were in that I sent to you yesterday? Danger.
I don't remember being that small, I can tell you that.
Sweet Sean wrestled Kaz, right? It was Kaz,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it was not my finest effort, but you know what? I sold the Canadian Destroyer perfectly, and it actually ended a match for the first time in the history of the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, you also hit him in the head with a cookie sheet while you're up on his shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. I found some old videotapes that I made in 2002, 2003, 2004. And apparently there was wrestling on one of them. And it was very cool to send it to you so you could see what you looked like, you know, and listening to Colin Delaney doing the commentary.
Yes.
And it wasn't just Colin. I think it also was Mookie, too, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I have to go back and listen a little bit closer, but that was pretty cool. So let's go through some of the news. I know we're not going to do a super epic long show because, I think we agree with a lot of what we say, and we don't argue with each other nearly as much as we do when Rob's here or DC's here. So I'll go through some news and throw this out here. We already talked about Draw's passing, or dying. So last Saturday's AEW Collision television show averaged 595,000 viewers for TNT, and coming down a bit from what they had done, 800,000 the week before, but that was a debut show. This is kind of like the number I suspect you'll be seeing, more weekly. You know, it's pretty significant with a 0.21 rating, 18-49 demo on Saturdays. That's, you draw any crowd on the weekends and you're gold. And I think they're on their way. They just got to keep putting on these compelling shows, you know?
It has, minus a couple matches on each show or like a match on each show, it has a completely different feel than Dynamite.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. It's definitely different. So we're just keeping our eyes on that to see, where it goes. And, WWE announced that Jackie Redmond will take on an expanded role with the company beginning this Saturday, July 1st. Redmond will serve as a backstage interviewer for Monday Night Raw, along with Byron Saxton. She will join Kayla Braxton to co-host WWE's premier live event kickoff show. So you'll see the kickoff tomorrow with her. She's brand new, Jackie Redman. She's brand new. Well, she's not brand new, but she's done sports for 10 years. She just hasn't been WWE for 10 years. And she'll be doing the kickoff show with Booker T and Pete Rosenberg. Woohoo. Like I said, she's got 10 years of sports, you know, working for the NHL Network as well as Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. And she'll be co-hosting Raw Talk and Talking Smack. So look for a new face. That's all I'm throwing out there is there's just a new face. It's going to be sharing the time with Byron Saxton doing the backstage interviews on Monday night from now on. So I just mentioned this a minute ago. Veteran WWE superstar Randy Orton is finally expected to make his WWE return soon. He's expected to be nearing a return, possibly Money in the Bank. We will see. It was reported in late May that WWE has a targeted return date for Orton. It's also noted that while the exact date was not provided, it was noted that it will not be this summer. Maybe it won't be this weekend, but it will be in this calendar year. So to add to that, WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle provided a positive update on Orton just this past week, like Kurt Angle knows, okay? Grayson Waller revealed on social media this past week that he suffered a broken leg during his last NXT match. And you remember that match, Danger? It ended kind of early, and it was like something happened. He broke his leg. So the injury, which Waller described as a clean break, occurred during the April 25th match against Carmelo Hayes on the spring break-themed edition of NXT television. I remember that because it's like all of a sudden it was like 3 minutes into the match, it was over. And it's like he's just laid in the ring. And so he must have, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We knew he was hurt, but we didn't know how extensive it was.
It also explains why he hasn't done anything other than interview shows so far since he's come up.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I like Grayson Waller a lot, and he doesn't need to wrestle. I mean, he's a mouth. He reminds me a lot of Roddy Piper. I don't know why, but he has that antagonistic way he talks.
He has a face you want to punch.
Yeah, that too. You know, handsome devil. You know, you definitely want to punch him. So AEW returning to New York City at the USTA Arthur Ashe Stadium for this year's Dynamite Grand Slam event. The inaugural show happened in 2021 where Dr. Britt Baker defeated Ruby Soho by submission to retain the women's title. Last year's show saw Jon Moxley defeat Bryan Danielson to win the vacated AEW World Heavyweight title in the headliner, and I believe that was like the week after we had saw them in Buffalo for Dynamite. September 20th is the date for the show, so look for a big match to be pulled out right before then, or at least announced to us. So we talked about Bryan Danielson broke his arm in the shocking victory over Okada this past Sunday. Bree, his wife, shared an x-ray photo on her Instagram story showing the extent of Danielson's arm and how much worse than they expected. She wrote, "Not sure to be proud or chastise him for wrestling 10 more minutes with a break. Definitely worse than we thought." You saw the picture, right? I mean, it was definitely, it was broke. It was definitely apart. You know, it was, sometimes you get cracks and then sometimes you have full breaks, and it was definitely a full break. So he should be expected to be on the shelf 6 to 8 weeks minimum. And he could potentially miss All In. We talked about that a little bit. You know, AEW Dynamite Television drew 809,000 viewers for TBS. The week before it was 902, so they're down just a little bit, but they still kind of got that high 800,000 number. I think it's a good number. You know, you don't want to dip below that.
Their key demo was super low for them, though.
Yeah, oh, was it? Okay. So, let's see. Like I mentioned, Brock Lesnar is heading to London. He's booked to appear at WWE Money.
Maybe he's just vacationing.
Yeah, that's because that's where I would go. You know, someplace that's cloudy all the time, you know. But who knows? I'm not going to say anymore, but I think that, you know, we will see some sort of issue with Cody Rhodes and him. If you were watching AEW Rampage tonight, this is what you can expect to see. Excuse me. Matt Hardy and Brother Zay versus QT Marshall and Johnny TV. We got to see Johnny TV actually use his name this past week. Johnny TV. Johnny Mundo. What was he called his last run in WWE?
Morrison.
John Morrison. It was just, you know, the regular name, John Morrison. Yeah, but he liked the squirting things. Never mind. Ty Valkyrie is taking on Sheeta. Sean Spears versus The Blade. It's interesting. Sean Spears has been back for a while. It's good that he's, you know, I figure either he's going to be back or he'd show up in Ring of Honor. Show up on Impact Wrestling. Claudio is taking on Commander for the ROH Championship. That's all tonight. So at 10 o'clock tonight, you can catch that. On Wednesday, if you're going to tune in to AEW Dynamite from Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, you're going to get Kenny Omega versus Wheeler Yuta. So they're kind of like splintering off these, BCC versus the Elite. Got Ruby Soho taking on Britt Baker in the quarterfinal match in the Women's Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. And I like this one. I'm not really sure what to suspect of this one. AEW International Champion Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland in a quarterfinal match to kick off the Blind Eliminator Tag Team Tournament. I don't know. What does that mean? Blind Eliminator.
You remember the Lethal Lottery they did back in WCW back in the day?
Oh, that's right. Where you pick the names out of the hat. Yeah. Okay, so that's what the Blind Eliminator. So you're going to have a mystery partner, right?
Keith and Swerve are partners. They drew together. You got Adam Cole and MJF are partners. So instead of just doing like one or two oddball teams, they're just going to hit everyone on the head, apparently.
That's what it sounds like. It's like, and then you got Cassidy and Allen, I think, and they've had matches before, but they're together. They might be something special. So it'll be interesting. On Saturday in Collision, you're going to get CM Punk will be on commentary for the Roderick Strong versus Samoa Joe Owen Hart Foundation Men's Tournament quarterfinal on Collision, and then Punk fights the winner of the match next Saturday. So I'm sure there'll be other matches, and I know it was taped already last night. I didn't look into it to spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it yet. But big news this week, after years of development, AEW Fight Forever is finally available for fans to purchase. The game can be purchased on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Nintendo Switch, and PC. I haven't seen much about it yet. I know a lot of the wrestlers in their promos are like, and now I'm going to go home and play AEW Fight Forever. And I've seen a couple of messages where people have said that. So, I'm not a video game player. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. It looks
fun. Yeah, I'm not either. I've heard it's a lot like No Mercy, WWE No Mercy was back in the day. It's, it's good action, good matches, but not as storyline as the current WWE video games tend to be.
I hear Cody Rhodes is in it too, and Brody Lee
is definitely in it.
Oh, and I saw the commercial, so Cody Rhodes, obviously they've been working so long on this that he was actually with the company when they were working on it still. So I guess they have the rights to that image, I guess. Yeah, but I saw someone arguing about Cody Rhodes and his bringing his song and his introduction and everything and the way he does stuff to WWE, and a lot of people weren't happy about that. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with them about it, but they feel like that it was it's basically just everything he did in AEW and the style of how everything was done, except for even his intro at one time was coming up from the floor. A lot of people think he just picked that up and brought it to WWE, and then they gave him, they said, okay, now you're going to win the championship or something like that. So, I don't know. I'm a big Cody Rhodes fan, so we'll see what happens. He did not win a championship at WrestleMania, even though we were all betting he was. So, we did mention the main event of this week's AEW Dynamite saw Sting, Darby Allin defeat Painmaker, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara in a tornado tag team match. At one point, Sting jumped from a ladder in the ring to put Guevara through a stack of tables at ringside. But only one of the tables broke. Sting landed hard into the rough spot that shocked many, but he continued to work the match for several minutes. The finish saw Sting block a Jericho dropkick, then take him down into the Scorpion Deathlock for the submission win. And by the way, that went after 10 o'clock, too. Did you notice that?
I watched it on DVR, so I did not.
It did. It went to like about 4 minutes after 10. Because they said at one point in the commentary, they go, and we're in overtime. So I wonder if they're like doing striking a deal to buy some more time after the show ends to finish.
Well, I mean, it's their show that's on after, isn't it?
I can't remember what was on after. I think it went to a movie or something.
I thought that's when All Access was on.
It used to be, but they only made one season of it, and it was really only like six episodes or something, so it wasn't a lot. But they it wasn't their own show they went to, so I thought it was interesting. But it said after Dynamite went off the air, the 64-year-old Sting spoke to the crowd and revealed an injury to his mouth. He was met with "Thank you, Sting" chants, but he thanked the fans in return. Fans then chanted "You deserve it," but Sting said the crowd also deserved it. Look at that! What a good guy. He goes, "I'm going
to
have a
bunch." Deserve to be hurt? Is that what they were chanting?
No. He said, "I'm going to have a bunch of stitches in my lip, and one of my teeth seems halfway knocked out," said Sting of the risky dive. Sting, with blood on his chin, acknowledged that he was hurt from the dive to the floor, adding that it was worth it to do the move for the Hamilton crowd. He also thanked AEW president Tony Khan for allowing him to do the move. Yeah, it's just, yeah. That ladder should have been closer to the ring ropes. That's what I was thinking the whole time, because he's got to go far.
That's quite the distance he had to go.
Yeah, he should maybe turned it sideways and jumped off sideways or something.
Yeah.
So I mentioned a minute ago, the Elite is in a they're going to be taking on the Blackpool Combat Club in the 2023 Blood and Guts matchup. AEW Dynamite saw the Hung Bucks defeat the Dark Order in trios action, but would get attacked by the BCC shortly after the match ended. Group leader John Moxley would then grab the microphone and told the Elite that they wanted to finish this war, and they would do it at Blood and Guts. And so the 2023 Blood and Guts match will take place on July 19th at the TD Gardens in Boston, Massachusetts. These matches are typically 5-on-5, so we'll have to wait and see who will be competing. Yeah, we'll definitely check that out. And that's probably all the news I've got for this week. Is there anything I missed that we should talk about? You know, I mean, we got...
I don't think so. Yeah. I haven't watched this week's Dark Side of the Ring yet. Or no, I did watch it. I watched it today. It was on JYD.
JYD. I have not seen that one yet either. I just watched... I just like crammed in the last two. And I watched the Magnum TA one. And then I watched the Doink the Clown, Matt Bourne Doink the Clown. That's not a very happy story either. It definitely fits the Dark Side of the Ring thing. So, next week we'll have, we'll be working our way towards SummerSlam, and we'll also working our way towards All In. We're working our way towards everything going on in the world of wrestling. But unfortunately, we're going to cut it short this week. This is probably the shortest show I've done in a while, because they're usually about 2 hours, and but it doesn't need to go that long when we don't have too much incredible news. I did mention one thing: did you see the Nakamura the Shinsuke Nakamura's song has been used by a rapper to did you listen to it?
I haven't listened to it yet. I saw it was used. I have not listened.
It's his theme, and the guy just raps on it. And then drop some F-bombs, too. So it's like, but, it's interesting. I mean, here's a dude who was like, sang at WrestleMania this year. What was his name?
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, Uzi. So he did his own version of the he uses Nakamura's music and then just raps over it the whole time. That's pretty good, actually. It wasn't too bad. I think that, it's interesting hearing a wrestler's music get rapped over. You know, it's not quite, Macho Man and Be a Man Hulk.
That was the greatest song ever.
I know. Remember we had him on after you put that out?
Remember we played it like 12 weeks in a row?
Of course. I would play it all the time. I mean, it would always be the joke, too, going into the break. We'd play Be a Man Hulk. But that's about it, folks. We only had Rennie, really. Rennie and somebody else was in the that I can't read their name because it looks like it's in some sort of foreign language in the chat room there. I appreciate you guys watching. It's and thank you, Rennie. And Rennie's like, I guess my pay-per-view snack meal will be fish and chips. Ha ha ha. Good one there, buddy. We're going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Danger, for being here. We'll be out. Next week is the 8th, and I know you won't be here, but it's going to be definitely Saturday. I'll definitely be here Saturday. I wasn't supposed to be, but I canceled my trip to Cleveland, so I will be home next weekend so we can do a wrestling talk show at 10 a.m. On the Facebook Live here. So I want to thank everybody who's watching. You guys have a great night and have a great weekend, and please do not blow off your fingers or your toes or anything else with fireworks this weekend. I know some of you will. But please just be careful with that, because and in fact, I have to go buy some. I got this tent around the corner here that popped up that's selling it. Might as well get some, you know. But July 4th is Tuesday this week, so some people are stretching a long weekend. I'm definitely going to get some R&R in. I'm tired of the smoke in the sky here in Rochester, and hopefully it goes away tomorrow. But thank you, everybody, for following. We'll be back, I promise, Saturday, July 8th. Same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later on.